Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Dustin Box. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
Awesome. All right. Well, welcome to church. I want to just say welcome to everyone who's streaming right now in Southern Campus. You guys are amazing. I have a kind of a brief word for you guys this morning. It's interesting. I was kind of reading again in Ephesians, and I just like there's a couple of verses that just got highlighted again this last week, and it was actually during Jamie when he was preaching last Sunday. I'm sitting on the front row, and he's reading a verse in Ephesians, and I kind of looked over at some notes that I had written, like in the margin of my Bible from some studying that I had done in Ephesians, and it brought back up sort of this context and conversation that honestly is I feel like God is actually stirring in a lot of different areas. We just launched the School of Ministry, and so there's this emphasis on like calling and gifting and what is God calling you to do, and it was just the word that just began to be stirred again in my heart. And so I want to go after this morning. I just have two main points that I want you to get this morning. So let's just pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for today. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our community, God. We thank you for what you're doing in our life, God, that you are calling us. Lord, that there is a gifting in our life. There's call, Lord, that we were not created without purpose, but we are created for something specific, Lord, with destiny on our life. Lord, and I pray right now that this morning our hearts would be opened, our ears would be opened to hear you, well, Lord, that our lives, our minds would be renewed, God, in your spirit, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read just a few verses here, starting in verse 1. Give you a second to go there. It's Ephesians chapter 4. It says this, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." I want to go back to verse 1 here, and this is going to be our first point. "I, therefore, and the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." See, what's really important about this verse is that there's something significant that God has called you and created you with. I love that verse where it says, before I was born, in my mother's womb, you knew me. You know, in Jeremiah 29:11, we all like to quote that verse and like, you know, the plans, "For I know the plans you have for me, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and give you hope in the future." And there's this idea that we have to understand that we are actually called with purpose. But what's interesting is that in Paul's writing, he's saying you need to walk worthy of the call that God has on your life. Which means you can actually walk in a way that's not worthy of your calling. See, we like to dream, we like to think of ourselves as like people with purpose, like, you know, we're created with destiny, we're gonna do this thing, and then we get up and the rubber meets the road, and you know, we had a hard day, and we begin to build excuses and justifying for attitudes and behaviors that are incongruent with the calling that God has placed on our life. Paul wrote it in a different way. He said, run like there's a prize. Run like an athlete, an Olympian, training for a prize. I'm going to get up. I'm going to discipline my body. I'm going to discipline my mind. And I'm going to run worthy of the call. He's like, I'm going to run worth that. There's a trophy. Lord, there's a reward waiting for me at the end of the finish line. And oftentimes we forget that there's choices that we are making every day along the way that need to reflect and be worthy of the call that God has on our life. I mean, if you think about it this way, when you're like, I'll just do this. I'll just tell a story. I'm really good with like short-term goals, right? Like in my life, I love having sort of like a big thing that I'm working towards. So when I was still competing in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, like having tournaments on the horizon was like really helpful for me to stay disciplined in my training, in my exercise, like pattern that I was doing, my diet, like making sure all that stuff was on point. And what would happen was is I knew in 6 weeks or in 2 months there was going to be a big tournament coming up. And if I wasn't ready for it, it was going to suck, just to be real. It was going to be terrible to get into that position and not be ready to compete at my highest level. So what would happen is it was easy. I'd sit down at dinner. My wife would make something really wonderful. I'm like, oh, I can't eat that. I have to eat this portion here. And she was really nice. She'd make stuff, you know, that would work for me. And then what would happen is invariably the kids are like, let's have a treat and watch a movie, right? Movie night, Friday nights, we're gonna get some treats, we're gonna get some candy, maybe some ice cream. And ice cream's my weak spot, just to be real. I love me some ice cream. I can eat just be real. I can eat the whole tub without a problem, without a stomach ache, I don't feel sick afterwards. I can put away the whole thing and not have a problem with it. It's not a problem. But what's crazy about it is I'll feel it the next day, right? I'll go into the gym, I'll go to workout, and everything just feels sluggish, and everything feels like, oh, and then I end up, you can begin to sort of build this idea like, oh, I thought I was good at this. Like, I must not have very good conditioning. I must not be very, very talented, or maybe I'm not learning what I'm supposed to be learning. And it's all based on a simple decision to have too much ice cream the night before. And oftentimes what will happen is we're actually, God's preparing us for things. He's put a call on our life, and he's given us destiny and purpose, and we're making little choices along the way that are actually hampering our ability to give ourselves fully to the call that God has on our life. We get into a situation and we begin to think, man, maybe I'm just not like a gifted preacher. Maybe I'm just not called into business. Maybe I'm not a good like husband or a good wife or all these different elements, and we don't realize that we're doing things along the way that are creating roadblocks that were never intended for us to have to go through because of our choices, the natural consequences to choices. It's interesting, when I would wake up in the morning, when I'm in tournament mode, I wake up in the morning, I have no problem saying no to the waffles. I could be making waffles with whipped cream and syrup and chocolate chips and blueberries. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm saying? Ooh. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a good day. Listen, I have no problem saying no to that. I can sit at that table, hang out with people, talk to people, and not eat any of it and not have a problem or even feel conflicted. But when I don't have vision for why I'm saying no or why I'm saying yes to something, it gets really, really difficult. And what'll happen is people will sit at that table and be like, what's your problem? Why aren't you having this waffle? Why don't you have some ice cream? You think you're better than us? Like, you think you're like, ooh, more fit, Mr. Fit Dustin? No, clearly I'm not fit. So that's not, it has nothing to do with me being a fitness model in any way or any shape or form, right? But it's like there's these little things that people will say. And what you have to do is you have to remember that there's purpose for your decisions in life. And you have to remind yourself, I am called I have a significant call in my life. I'm called with purpose. This is why I'm going to say no to this thing. This is why I'm going to refrain from this behavior or this attitude. You get into an argument like, oh, you're trying to control your attitude. You think you're better than me? I don't know if you've ever been in an argument where someone dropped that sort of thing. I have. I definitely have been. Where people start like, oh, Mr. Dustin, you're a preacher. You can't get mad at me at the job site. Like, no, I'm working really hard to control my attitude right now. Like, there's something significant about keeping vision and call in the forefront of your mind. You wake up in the morning, you remember, this is what I was put on earth to do. Which brings up a really important thing in our life that we actually have to develop and take space to dive into: what am I called to do? And this is why it's so important to do this. You need to take time, even if it's just simply, I'm called to reflect the image of Christ. Like, at the purest and most simple level, if you don't know what your job is supposed to do, you don't know like what you're supposed to be in life, some grand big vision, at the very least, you need to recognize that as a believer, you are called to reflect Christ's image here on earth in everything you do. So you wake up in the morning, hey, is this decision reflecting his image? Is the way that I'm interacting with people or behaving or talking, is what I'm doing reflecting that image? You know, it brings up the interesting conversation in context of integrity, where regardless of whose company I am, whether I'm with friends, whether I'm with family, whether I'm at home by myself, am I the same person? Am I making the same decisions? Am I making the same choices, right, that reflect character, that reflect Christ's image, maturity in my life? Am I doing that no matter who's around? And obviously, like, that's like, that's a very challenging question. But the reality is what will help, like, narrow the back and forth in your life that will keep you going in the right direction is reminding yourself when you're at home by yourself, hey, what am I called to do? What am I created to do? What is my life doing right now? What is my life reflecting right now? If I knew that tonight, what I'm doing right now is gonna have impact on tomorrow's choices and next week and in 1 month, would I still be making the same choice right now? What's interesting about it is oftentimes for me, my personality, I go into this super intense perspective, right? Like I said, I'm good with like short-term goals. I get super crazy intense. Well, I'm not doing anything. I'm just gonna read my Bible. I'm gonna study. I'm gonna intercede in my room. And like, but God has actually called us. And part of like if you read like the whole of scripture, there's a season for everything. There's a season for feasting. There's a season for fasting. There's a season for celebration. There's a season for connecting with friends and family. There's a season for praying, for interceding. There's a season for worship. There's like healthy rhythm and balance that God actually intends for us to have. And so I wanna, like, if you go to that super extreme place, which is where I always go in these sort of conversations, if you go to that place, I want to remind you that, like, asking yourself, what season am I in? What season am I in? And am I giving myself to that? Am I being faithful to the season that God has placed me in right now? If it's a season of rest, I'm going to tell you what, the best thing you can do is rest. If it's a season to run, you better get off your seat and start running. If it's a season to study and go deep, you give yourself wholeheartedly to that season. You know, one of the things that sort of the constant reminders that I have in this conversation is the story of David and Bathsheba. And you go back to us, I think it's in 2 Samuel. And what's really profound to me is that passage of scripture starts with this phrase, in the season the kings went to war, David stayed home. That one decision to not give himself to the season that he was in and what he was supposed to be in set him up for a series of choices that led into compromise and failure in his life. And so this question of what season am I in? Am I giving myself wholeheartedly to that? And is it worthy of the calling that God has placed on my life? God has called me something. Man, is my life, am I living in such a way that is worthy of the calling that God's placed on my life? All of us want to be called out and given some amazing prophetic word. I mean, I love it. I need that. I'm like, when there's meetings, when there's somebody in town, I'm like, oh, please call me out. Please, I really need this right now. I need a word from the Lord. We all want that. But the reality is that word is going to come with implications and the choices you make every day. We want to feel good with the word, but are you willing to make the choices that reflect and are worthy of the call that you've just been called with? And so there's this reminder of actually walking in a way that's worthy of the calling that God has on you. Now, this is what's cool about this passage is it connects walking worthy in this way of like practical choices, practical decisions that reflect God's call in your life. And then it goes into lowliness and gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. In other words, like this call that God has placed on your life, it's not a place for arrogance or pride or any sort of thing that like, oh yeah, I'm doing better than Natty. I'm doing better than so-and-so. Like there's like this thing where it's like, no. Like you live your life fully invested into the call that God has on your life in a place of humility and gentleness when you're relating and connecting to others. And what's amazing is then it goes into this, there's one body, there's one hope, there's one Lord, right? Like we're connected, we're family. And then what's really interesting is verse 7 says this, and this is point number 2. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, let's look at this. Grace. Grace is this word that gets used in a few different contexts. One, it sort of encompasses this incredible measure of forgiveness and restoration that was accomplished through Christ's death and resurrection. And the second way is this way to describe a supernatural empowerment to accomplish something that God has done or is doing through your life. That he's going to give you grace to accomplish the thing that he's called you to do. There's going to be a measure of grace to walk through a trial or walk through a circumstance or walk through a situation. Now, this is what's really interesting. Is he's saying there's one faith, one baptism, one God, one family, but each one of us has a grace that's connected to the gift that Christ has given us. What that means is I wasn't given a grace to walk in someone else's gifting. I was given a grace to walk in the gifting that God's placed in my life. What that means, if I try to walk in someone else's gifting, I will never do as good of a job as they will because they've been supernaturally equipped with a grace to walk in that gifting. You will always be second best when you are trying to walk in someone else's shoes. You will never do it as good as them, ever. You will never be able to minister as good as them. You will never be able to be as good of a husband or a wife. You will never be as good of a business partner or entrepreneur. You will never do it. You will always be second, third, fourth, fifth best. You will always be the absolute best. Number one slot, right? When you're walking in the grace and the gifting God has placed on your life. Why? Because God has given you a grace to walk in the gift that he's given you. So what's really interesting about this is we live our life. I don't know if you've struggled with this, but I personally have definitely struggled with this. In the church and in life, you see other people's lives. You see things that they're doing, they're accomplishing, and you begin to develop the sense. Sometimes it starts from a good place where you're stirred, like, oh, I want to do that. I'd love to be involved in that. Or I want to be able to sing like that or play music like that or travel this way or have this type of business. And sometimes it stirs up something really healthy because you see something that someone is going after and it kind of like stirs up a sense of faith and a sense of like, oh man, this is possible. I should do this. But if you're not careful, what will happen is it will turn to, I want to do that thing. I want to do what they're doing. What's difficult about that is if you're not careful, if you don't catch that, it will develop a place of jealousy and envy where you actually want their gifting, you want their calling. And what's unfortunate about that is as long as you are trying to walk in that gifting, you don't have the grace to walk it out. Now, follow me for a second. Christ has given you a grace to walk in the gifting you're meant to carry. If I am stepping over here and I am trying to walk in the gifting of someone else, I will invariably be doing it on my own. I'll be doing it out of my strength, out of my power, out of my sense of striving. Now, here's what's a bummer about that. Is if I do actually get to a point where I'm achieving this and working in this gifting, I will have to continue to strive and continue to perform and continue to try to maintain this place. It will require everything of my own ability to try to keep the illusion going that this is my gifting and this is where I'm supposed to be at, which doesn't look like rest. It doesn't look like peace. It doesn't look like God's supernatural empowerment, which is just a massive bummer for life. We're talking about fulfillment and fulfilling God's call in our life. The second thing that begins to happen is this gift over here is not being manifested in the world. See, you were created to carry something unique. I'm over here trying to be John. I will never be a good John, ever. John is the best John there is. I will never be like him. I can't. I can pursue Christ like he pursues Christ. I can follow in his footsteps in terms of character and discipline and the pursuit of God. Like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. There's a sense of like mentorship and discipleship that can take place, but I will never be John. I was never created to be John. I was never intended to be John. And the worst part about me trying to be someone else, trying to be John, is that the gift that was given to Dustin to accomplish is not being accomplished. The call that was on me over here partnered with the supernatural empowerment of God's grace to see it accomplished is just sitting there and nothing is happening. I'm striving and working and like trying to be someone that I was never created to be. And over here, if I just choose to stand in here, not only is there a supernatural grace that begins to empower my decisions, empower my choices, empower the task that is in front of me, but now there's a sense of actually stepping into the true calling and gifting that's on my life. And the sense of like fulfillment, that verse of like where it says like, oh man, like, you know, enter into your rest, my good and faithful servant. That sense of like, I'm actually doing what Christ created me to do and to be. And there's this thing, so many of us struggle with the sense of striving, the sense of like, why am I not getting momentum in my life? What is this dilemma? What is going on? The sense of maybe not being happy with who you are or where your life is taking you. And oftentimes what I found in my own personal life and working with people is that whenever there's a sense of dissatisfaction, there's two things. Either God might be shifting and moving you, but more often than not, it's because you've fallen into the trap of comparison and jealousy. And you're either striving to be or to do something that you weren't created to, or you're just looking at your life and comparing, saying, I wish I was this, but I'm this over here. And you're not engaged in this thing that you were called and gifted to be. This is why this passage, it starts with, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, well, I'm bound to what God has done in me. I'm connected. I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Paul is begging you, listen. Listen, you need to run worthy of the call of God on your life. You need to get up in the morning and reminding yourself, remembering the call that you've been called with, remembering the purpose that you were created with, remembering that there's destiny attached to the decisions you make every day, that there are people in life that are waiting for a moment that like a moment with God that you are designed and created to bring to them, that your decisions and choices are taking you in that trajectory, that there's destiny attached to who you are as an individual. And then he kind of like wraps it up with, and don't forget, there's grace to see that thing happen. There's not grace to be someone different. There's grace to pursue that calling. So if it feels like it's too big, if it feels like, I don't know how I'd ever like fulfill this calling on my life. I'm like super overwhelmed and I'm afraid of failing and all. He's reminding you, no. Christ has given you grace to see that thing fulfilled, to walk in the gifting of God in your life. He's given you grace to do that. He hasn't given you grace to be someone different. And so when you lock into a sense of vision and purpose to your life, not only is there like there's a sense of vision, there's a strength and ability to make choices that are difficult to make in the moment. There's choices that you have to make that reflect integrity and reflect Christ's image when you're interacting with people. How can Jesus hang out with all of these sinners and all these different people and never compromise who he is? He understood the calling that was on his life. He understood, I'm the Son of God. I'm here to bring redemption to mankind. I can stay in a place of integrity regardless of what people are doing around me or saying around me. And there's this sense of like, that is the same level. That is the call that is on our life, that we get to stand in integrity and character regardless of what's taking place around us. That we remind ourselves, no, this is who I am. This is what I've been called to do. You know, it's like that final scene from Moana. Can't hear the laughter from the couple people that are in this room. I'm a father of four children. I got a 3-year-old at home. I'm going to tell you what, man, the first time I saw that, I was like, there is few things as prophetic as that moment where Moana begins to sing, this is not who you are. Remember who you are. And so much that, like, so much of our life, when we begin to go this other direction, man, Jesus is right there singing that over your life. That's not who you are. This is who you are. Not only is the life that I've equipped you to live and I've gifted you to live, but I'm giving you grace, supernatural empowerment to live that way and to walk that path. That means if you're a young married person, you know what I'm saying? And now there's like the pressure and the thought of like, oh my gosh, what are we gonna do about kids? What are we gonna do about college tuition? I got four kids, man. That's a lot of money. What's gonna happen when I die? What kind of retirement do I have? Am I set? Like, what about a house? How do I buy a house? What? All of those thoughts, right? All of those things, God is supernaturally going to give you grace to walk through that place when you are locked into the calling that he's placed on your life and you're functioning in the gift that he's given you. That there's supernatural empowerment to walk through that road to the solutions to those problems, the answers to those questions are connected to you pursuing Christ's call on your life. If that's starting businesses, if that's doing education, if that's government stuff, if that's working in schools, it doesn't matter what it is. It's about understanding I've been called with purpose and I'm locked into that. And so sometimes those details don't always make sense when we're on this side of the journey, when we're at the beginning stages of a journey or like right in the middle of a storm. All the details don't always make sense. I love the language where Paul is writing. He says, I beseech you, I beg you, please walk worthy of the call that God's put on your life. Understanding that there's grace and supernatural empowerment to walk in that gift and walk in that gifting. What's really amazing is this passage is a couple verses down is where then he transitions into the fivefold ministry gift and the whole call of the church rising up into an image and reflection, both in unity and in a reflection of Christ into the community and into the world. There's like this fulfillment of the supernatural destiny, the eternal destiny of the whole story. We're talking from Genesis to Revelation. You have an integral part of the scene that fulfilled when you step into the call and the gift that God's placed on your life. On your life. It's not to be super cheesy, and this is where we're going to wrap up, but it's just like a human body, and that's why Paul uses that illustration when he's talking about unity, is that if you've done any sort of competition, any sort of athletics, like if you have just an elbow or a tendon that is sore, it affects your whole body and your whole performance. You know what I mean? If you're like, you can have a pinky toe that you stubbed the morning of a long run. If you're a jogger, you crack your pinky toe and dear Lord, you're about to pay the price for that run. You know what I'm saying? It's terrible. But the thing is that it doesn't matter how insignificant or small you think your call is, it isn't small. It is so significant because it is an integral part to the bigger story, the bigger painting, the bigger picture that God is doing in our lives and in the community. And when you connect it to an eternal perspective, understanding that there is a story that God is writing that we get to be a part of, that we are part of that great cloud of witnesses, that I'm running a race that has been handed to me. I'm in a relay race and I'm carrying destiny. I'm carrying inheritance. I'm carrying this thing, this momentum that's been handed to me. And I get to hand that off as well. And it ties it in and connects it into this overall picture that one day you're gonna stand before God and he's gonna look at you and you'd be like, I was faithful. I did it. I gave myself. And he's like, you did it. You gave yourself. And this is, look at all the things that resulted from the decisions you did in your life. And you're gonna see the tapestry, the interconnectedness of your life choices and how it played out over time. And I wanna encourage you this morning that if you've been struggling with a sense of calling, if you've been struggling with a sense of purpose, that you need to know this morning that God didn't make a mistake when he made you. He didn't make a mistake when he gave you the personality you have or the gifting that you have or the family that you come from or the background that you have. God didn't screw up. That he created you with purpose. He created you with destiny. He designed you and fashioned you specifically for the call that is on your life. What's amazing about that is that he designed you perfectly to accomplish that which he created you to accomplish. And there's been a supernatural grace, there's been a supernatural empowerment put on your life to see that thing fulfilled, to see that gift fulfilled and accomplished. So I want to encourage you this morning that your life has purpose, your life has meaning, that your decisions have purpose and meaning, to remind yourself of the call that's on your life. Remind yourself of why you're doing what you're doing. And if you're struggling with jealousy or envy this morning, if you're looking at someone else's life, wishing you had a different life, wishing you had a different gifting, wishing you had a different personality, I want to remind you today that you will always be the best you that could ever be. That there's something unique on your life, that you will never be as good at something else as that other person is. That you just can't. God empowered you and gifted you to be you and to accomplish the call that is on your life, not the call that's on someone else's life. So if that's you, if you're struggling with that, I want you just to, like, you can put your hand on your heart. We're gonna pray in your room, in your living room, down the South Campus, wherever you're at right now. I want you to lay your hand on your heart. I want you to join faith right now, and I want you to make the adjustment. I want you to believe that right now as we pray, God is gonna help you make that adjustment. He's gonna renew your mind, your perspective, and there's gonna be a flowing out in your choices today and in the weeks to come this morning. God, we thank you, Lord, that you designed and created us with purpose and with destiny. Lord, that you didn't mess up or screw up when you created us. You didn't make a mistake or like trip and oops. There was no mistake or no flaw, God, in our design. Lord, that there was no mistake, the call that you put on each one of our lives. Lord, I pray right now that there would be such a sense of peace over every heart right now. Lord, that your perfect peace would guard our hearts and minds. And in that process, Lord, every place of jealousy, every place of envy would be cut off, would be carved away. Lord, we would let go of those places in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray right now for a sense of calling to be placed on every individual. Lord, that in the forefront of our thinking, the forefront of our mind, Lord, we wake up in the morning where we remind ourselves of the call that's on our life. God, the purpose that's on our life. Lord, that we're able to make decisions and choices, Lord, that are worthy, that we would walk worthy of the call that's on our life. Lord, we pray for just courage and boldness to be people of integrity. God, walking, we're agents of change in our community and in the world around us, Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray right now for just a sense of purpose, a renewed sense of purpose over every person right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We love you guys. Bless you. We will see you next week.